Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
All right, Daniela is a Virginia Commonwealth University student. She is interned this summer on The Mike O'Mara Show, and she is off to scenic, beautiful Richmond.
And it's a city of Renaissance.
Yeah, right.
It was definitely
stop by and see the fabulous Philip Morris cigarette tower. That's exciting.
Hey, Richmond. That's outside of town. It was like that 30 years ago
it's
when I went.
It's not outside of town. It's in Richmond. It's within the city limits.
But it's not like downtown. Like when you and also VCU, the campus is now actually a beautiful campus. It wasn't when I was there. They've closed down all the roadhouses and the porno theaters and the show bars are gone.
Have they torn down all their Confederate statues? Have they done that?
Mike, that is a Richmond thing, not a VCU thing, and I do not condone it.
Very
Monument Avenue.
So, Daniela, you are studying communications at Virginia Commonwealth University. Is that accurate?
No.
Thank you. I make it a point to stay up and current on all my intern activities. So,
I'm sure you'll remember that she made two cartoons for us.
Ah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were wonderful.
Yeah, the bee, the Italian bee. And
the
Italian
pony. Bee was spectacular. Our listeners loved it.
And Pony Standing in the Forest.
Pony.
I accidentally made Pony gay.
But. Wow. Did I miss that?
You didn't do that.
Yeah.
I miss that one?
I think maybe you did.
Well, you send it to me for a go. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. What are you drinking?
A Diet Dr. Pepper.
Oh, okay.
Great
your
diet
color's
soda.
Off. It looks like a grape soda. It looks grape from here.
No, it's not.
Sorry. Daniela, hi.
Hi.
So you're staying graphic design at Virginia Commonwealth University. That's right, right?
Yes. No, I'm studying kinetic imaging.
Kinetic imaging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mike grew up in Connecticut.
All right. Kinetic imaging. Could you explain to our... What the hell is that?
So it's a mixture of four different...
Mediums?
Fields, I guess. So you have video, audio... Yeah. Or I guess sound, and then you have emerging media, and then animation, and then I'm emphasizing in animation.
And so kinetic imaging is used in all sorts of media. Is that right?
Yes. Okay. So I'm looking more towards the entertainment aspect of movies and that's TV shows and that sort of thing. So
you're going to be the next Matt Groening? Groening?
Groening.
Or Mike Judge or somebody like you want to make entertainment animation? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I would love to make movies or TV shows, but mostly
Very
movies.
Cool.
That's what I want to do.
Are you a big fan of like the Pixar stuff?
I love Studio Ghibli. I like the more traditional Asian types of animation.
Pony, can you enlighten us, please?
I'm more troubled by the fact that Pony thought it necessary to cheer or the fact that he had to turn his mic on to cheer.
How often does he cheer on the show? Not very. Why are you cheering, Pony?
Studio Ghibli is fantastic. It's one of the best anime studios ever. They've been making stuff since the 70s. A fantastic studio.
Very good. And that's not the one that burned down, right?
No, it's not.
But I will say this about it. I will say yay.
Yay for Danielle and yay for
Chinese animation.
That's cool. Whatever. And you know what? And I hope, how was your experience this summer? Did you, even though it's, we're not animation in here, we've used animation a lot. We really have over the years of the podcast. Did you ever get a chance to look at our old stuff that we did, that we had for live shows? There's some pretty cool stuff out there. Very neat.
No, but I saw someone did the kind of like a really rough flash animation on your channel that was related when I was looking up different types of animation for this show. But other than that, I haven't seen anything really.
And how did you find your overall experience?
I thought it was really fun. I really enjoyed it here.
Give me the best part of, I'm going to ask you the best and the worst, the best part of being a TMOS intern.
This is like, this is great. This is like doing an exit interview in a real corporation.
Yes, it is. Only we're not writing anything down because we're not that professional.
We're recording.
What's the best thing about being a TMOS intern?
I think learning probably the production of it all and going live and making sure all the cameras and everything is set up correctly. That's, I think, one of my favorite things to do when it comes to
production.
And what
was the worst part of being a TMOS intern?
Milk runs.
Milk runs.
Yeah.
Milk runs?
Yeah, because we need to have milk.
What the hell? Would somebody have a child that I don't know about? What the hell is going on?
Mike, as you know, on the second floor, we keep two small cows.
What is a milk run, Rob?
No, we need
Jesus Christ, stop doing shtick for one goddamn minute and tell me what's really happening.
As you know, when they closed the Starbucks, we got an espresso machine. And the espresso machine provides steamed milk, but you have to stock it with milk. And boy, we got thirsty people at the village, and they got to go get milk a lot of times.
So. Oh, man, that's terrible that you had to do that. My apologies. If I'd been there, I wouldn't have made you do that. I would have duct taped you to a tree like we always do with interns. That's what we used to do. We used to really torture interns back in the day. Not allowed anymore. It doesn't work. So, well, I'm delighted that you had a great experience, and now it's back to school for you, and you have brought a farewell gift for us. What can you tell me about it?
First, tell about the lovely catered meal you brought us. I said, would that every day be her last day, because she showed up with delicious croissants this morning.
Okay. All right.
Interns never do this.
God, why are you holding? You put your hand down. You're just waving your hand around like Ben Franklin. You know, second day working alone with you. I'm ready to kill you already. So, she brought a lovely group of croissants.
Be fair, Mike. It's not the second day. It's the 30th year. That's why you want to kill me.
All right. Very good. What's the gift?
I'm going to read the card. She wrote a card to us.
Very good. This segment is moving along swimmingly right now. All right. Here we go.
Card says, has her name on the front. And it reads, I would like, this is very lengthy. It's it's too long to read on the air. But it's a lovely thank you note from Daniela Wheel. And she says,
Is it anything entertaining in that note, or is it just sweet?
No, it's just sweet.
I could tell by the handwriting, it's just sweet.
We don't like sweet on this show. All right, let's see what we all got. That's okay, Daniela. You're genuine, you're honest, you're real, and we appreciated you being here. All right.
It's in a small white box. It was wrapped lovely.
It's an iPhone.
It is. Oh, Mike, cookies. She's the best intern ever.
Thank you, Danielle. That's wonderful. Is there anything you would like to say? Thank you very much. Those are what kind of what flavor?
I can tell you right now. They're ginger, aren't they?
No.
Ginger snaps?
They smell gingery.
So they're oatmeal spice cookies that my grandma and I made actually this weekend. And I thought I would bring some down for y'all. And it's
That's wonderful.
Yeah,
that's
so you can pretend like it's healthy, but because it has oatmeal in it.
You know, I'm channeling right now the Alec Baldwin segment on Saturday Night Live where he brought the sweaty balls. I don't know why, but I'm just.
I know I'm that those cookies will never see Wednesday. That's so nice.
That's wonderful. Any parting words, Daniela, that you'd like to say to our wonderful listening audience before you take your leave?
Nothing really, other than thanks for having me, and also I hope to finish one more animation before I leave.
Oh, good! So thank you so much.
That is wonderful. That is Daniela, ladies and gentlemen. Yay. Thank you.
Open door, Daniela. Come see us again, okay?
Thank you very much.
Microphone off.
And you can buy the fruitcake and get a golden ticket and just come back.
Yeah, that's right. You can go visit Mike in Florida. That'd be nice.
No, that would be the platinum ticket.
Well, she could just show up. I'm saying she could visit.
No, it's fine. Thank you, Daniela. You can take your headphones off. Thank you.
We're done.
Thank
here.
You very much.
We're that's done good. Talking.
We're done. Anyway, that was one. So you like the cookies? You're gonna eat.
They smell wonderful. Yes.
All right. Don't wave your hands around. That's it. We can start the show now. You home.
Mrs. Z wants candy.
Well, we should have something sweet.
She loves candy.
Airheads, if they're sour, Sour Patch. The watermelon flavored ones.
Sweet Tarts.
Nerds, Black Licorice.
Shannon.
Good and Plenty. Chocolate.
A Hershey bar.
Peanut Butter Cup.
Mary Jane's.
Bitter
I ate all of my favorite candies.
Don't worry, Peach. You can stock up on all your favorites through the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Thanks, Peach.
The best of O'Mara.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Rogers to sing for you a little song about a man that lacked courage.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
Then he got his balls back. Great little story.
Story song, yeah.
He wasn't holding nothing back. He let him have it all.
Is this the first time that he went this deep with his vocal fry?
I'm not sure, but it probably, I think this was really, and that's an interesting way of putting it, his vocal fry. Yeah.
Guy's got bills to pay.
He does.
You gotta keep know. The Gambler was was that before this? Yeah, this
Gambler
was before.
Gambler was first. And then Lucille before was before one. That. Quick, and then, of course, he did work with the first.
The deepest fry is Lucille.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Let's do that.
All right, enough. Stop it. Turn it off.
Stop the music.
Can't do a show with Kenny Rogers.
A great chicken.
A wonderful sidebar and
and I'm sure you guys have seen this, but you don't get to see it, in such close quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They had a skydive tribute to the late President Mike at the end of, in the middle of the evening festivities for the family. And you had this just elite, and it's veteran-based, paratroopers that jump out of planes and land at the library. And I never thought you're moved throughout the weekend by these stories, but to get teary-eyed to it with a tribute that involves skydiving,
yeah,
that was a moment that I don't think I'll ever forget.
Boy,
especially what is the front steps of the library. You're looking at history. You see all these people that have come out to pay tribute to the late president, and then these veterans that are jumping in really precarious conditions. Like, if you're not a professional, you're not doing this. They almost had to cancel it, but they went on with it.
Weather-related.
Yeah, because it was so windy. It was a beautiful day, but a windy, windy day.
Oh, wow. In Texas.
All right. And you see what was 12 members, 12 vets jump, and they all have the American flag coming to land.
Oh, wow.
That's very cool.
That's cool.
And you know what? You have a greater sense of family than Robert and I do. And it's really, it's something to see, you know? I mean, it really, really is. And I have been thinking about my family up here, as I always do. I took a bike ride down to our family home down here and just sat on the lawn and had a conversation with my dad, whose ashes are scattered out in Frenchman's Bay. And he was part of the Greatest Generation. And it's very, very cool. And, a lot of people, as we all get older, you got to keep the memories alive, especially memories of people. And I think we are in a time now where history is not as relevant as it used to be, for God's sake.
Seems
it's pretty
so temporary,
obvious, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything seems right now with no, history is not valued. And these families, these massive families, keep it alive. And it's so rare. And what a political dynasty they were. But they all know what the deal is. They know how important it is. And the families that are rich with value for the people that have gone before them are the families that work to keep that. And make no mistake about it, it is an effort. It is work to keep that. And not just because he was the president. There are big families in America that do this, that keep the memories of their elders alive. And it's something I consider so honorable to watch it, to view it, to see how it's done. And, it's not just the Bushes and the Kennedys.
It's any family.
It's really
any
great.
Family.
Yeah, it's terrific.
And this is rooted, and we talk about, it's not easy to do. And I would say that it's cost prohibitive sometimes to make that happen. It doesn't have to be this grandiose, pilgrimage. I think it is hard. People just have to make the effort.
You have to make the effort, and you have to do it. And
the fact that there were so many cousins and nephews and nieces there, that's to me what's huge. Because when you think of the Bush family, mm-hmm. you tend to think of that the older generation, Jeb and 43. Yeah. But they've got generations yet to come, and they're all involved. And that's so important.
You know what I was telling also, Mike? The people that the grandchildren that could come just for the morning festivities
mm-hmm.
came. They sat down for the podcast, and then that was one of their primaries, and then they left. But
right.
they all made sure to put in the appearance.
Yep. That's what counts. That's what counts. And you know what? And when you talk about genuine esteem for yes. each other and respect for each other, I look at that and I go, what's that like? Anyway, it's it's interesting.
But I'll keep you posted.
We do it to a certain extent up here.
Sure.
Look, maybe I'm the outlier. I was reading an article about that. If you think everybody's being a jerk, maybe you're the jerk.
No.
Maybe I'm the jerk. Maybe it's all me. You know what? That's not my family with my sister. My sister arrived yesterday. I made it down. We had a wonderful evening.
And she skydived in, right?
She skydived in. No, she brought my niece's three children.
Oh, good, good.
Came up, and they get along great with Michael. And you're seeing the different layers of family. Mm. And we sat there with Kathy and Paul and laughed. I hadn't seen them in a very, very long time. And that is my immediate family. That's my only sister and her husband. And we had a phenomenal time. We did. I would love to sit here and say something was said that made me feel bad or made me. It wasn't. In fact, the only thing they made me feel good about, better about, was riding my bike up here and talking about the hill profiles. When my brother-in-law, who has ridden his bike in an 80 mile marathon, says, "Yeah, that's the toughest hill that I deal with," I'm like, "Really?"
Well,
it made me
good.
Feel good okay, about yeah. my exercise.
It's a win.
So
it's a win.
It was good. It was good. Everybody's up here, and then then everybody else will slowly be smattering in, and we'll see. We always see how it's going to go up here.
This is the calm before the storm.
This is the end of the quiet time for a week or two.
It'll
where
gear
it's
up.
Been my wife and me and my little guy, and we kind of celebrated the end of our time, which is our solo time where we just love the quiet and being up here by ourselves. And
attaching a finality that doesn't need to be a part of it. It's not the end of your time of quiet and solitude.
No, it's not my end of time and quiet, but it's the everybody's starting to, they're going to start to trickle in
sure,
now.
Sure, sure.
And that's the way it rolls. I'm fine, but the social things
this
that,
is, this is
you
the,
know,
this
you
is
gotta,
the difference. And can I speak for you, Mike, just because I have
yes,
some
go comment. Right ahead. Fine.
Mike didn't have to worry about how he was going to be slighted until now.
That's true. He was playing a home game.
Yes.
Yeah. There'd be the normal slightings from the son and his wife.
Yeah.
But he can deal with that.
Now, this is go time. This is the playoffs.
It's the playoffs.
Right. It's fine. Everything's going to be fine.
Fine.
It's going to be just fine.
Will
it's
you
fine,
go game
Mike.
Seven with your family?
Here's what I will
four.
Do. I will. We're going to be out of here before it rips. The big month is August, and we're not here for that.
Okay.
Out of there.
Which is the way it should be, in my opinion. That's the way it should be, I am more relaxed up here and more chill up here than I have ever been before, and I can attribute that to the railroad salvage recliner that we purchased earlier, where,
two of them, I thought.
Two of them, and it's just, that's my little drill. I realize that up here, there are families that are like, "Oh, television, you can watch television anywhere." No, I watch television, you got that wrong. I watch television everywhere. I love the Magic
part of your
Box.
Job.
I also,
it's
I'm reading a book.
It's part of the job.
I'm reading a book, so I'm being literary. I'm reading. I'm in the middle of a book. The guy that wrote Red Dragon, The Silence of the Lambs guy.
Ooh.
Okay,
and that's all over the place. It is called Kari Mota. It's the name of a character who's featured in the book, and it's got all his weird stuff. And look, if I told my family members everything I do up here, which is sit down and watch television, which is buy a half gallon of Hood ice cream and put a massive dent in it in one evening. And then when Carla goes to bed, I go on YouTube and I watch rats being fed to lizards.
Yes.
There are a lot of weird things I do. I understand I'm not normal. I totally accept that. And by the way, it's just fascinating when you see, it's one thing to see a snake eat a rat.
Yeah.
It's another thing to see a lizard. That is not a good way for the rat to go.
Well, you see, that's
if you're watching
research.
That, by the way, and I know there are a lot of sick F's out there, they're going to say, "Rat eating lizard, I got to go look at that." And it's not a lizard, it's a monitor. It's like a,
oh,
it's that, like
that's
a,
essentially a dragon.
It's a dragon.
High fidelity dragon.
They don't mess around at all.
No, they're quite down to business.
They basically mug it. They mug the rat.
Hey, you.
So Google rat mugging.
there's only one. By the way, with YouTube, when you're doing the dive on YouTube, sometimes there's the video, and then you can't get by. You can't get anything better.
Yeah.
So it's futile to really look for
but
it.
You but you keep trying.
Carla came in and saw
right?
Carla saw me watch that, looked over my shoulder and said, You're not well. She said, "What are you looking at?" I said, "It's a giant lizard in a bathtub eating a rat." And she said, she looked at me and she said, "You are not normal." And I looked at her and I said, "Exactly." And it was
these videos, how is the audio?
It's terrific. Some of them, by the way.
Do the rats scream?
No, the snake owners are ridiculously bad with their videos.
Okay.
They'll just have a camera like looking at a rock and then they'll finally move it because they're so into it with their snakes because they're weird. The lizard video is very solid. Very,
good.
Very solid work. Really terrific. But and this rat just did not want to give it up. This rat
you
did
like
not
to have
want
a,
to go
you,
to
you
the
want
hereafter.
Have a, you want to have a rat with a little fight in it, right?
Oh, this rat had fight in it. I almost felt bad for it. It was fascinating.
It's vermin.
It really
remember what the rats have
by
done.
The way, on the axe, if you check out a rat being eaten by a monitor lizard, please let me know. I'd appreciate
it. Is it filmed
like
in a I guess, a Nat Geo sense, or is it just a GoPro?
No, it's filmed in a guy with a Bronx apartment sense.
Oh.
That shouldn't have those lizards anyway.
Mm. Oh.
They're the type of things where they get too big, and the guy's like, what do you want to do? Put it in the back of the SUV and take it out to the Everglades. Then they destroy the ecosystem out there. They have giant lizards out there, too. The Everglades are like a dumping zone for unwanted pets.
Well,
they'll kill them.
That's how
they just leave
the
them
pythons.
That's how the Burmese python came into existence out there. You know? And, you know, in a strange way, I'm okay with that. I don't know. I'm just weird that way. We have to take a break. When we come back, you've got a story about your son.
I do. I do.
We certainly had your lovely daughter coronated on this show for the last month.
True enough.
You know, your son doesn't get enough attention. I'm delighted you're going to be is it going to be positive?
One in the win column.
Oh.
Oh, that's good. Oh, okay, that's good. I want to. Oh, I think I know what's coming. We'll talk Robert
III.
He
joined the army.
When we come back on the Mike O'Meara show.
Tonight, after an all-new Fall Guy, there's a man on the mean streets of West South Florida who won't put up with his lady being hassled.
I don't like my lady being hassled.
I said that. And when it comes to keeping cars on the street, this guy takes matters into his own hands.
The car just could not pull into the driveway. I had to park on the street.
Mike O'Meara is on the case, and he lives life on his own terms.
We all control the street.
It's the O'Meara Files. Watch it along with the Mike O'Meara Show on your favorite platform, YouTube, Instagram, and at MikeO'MearaShow.com. And remember,
I love cigars.
The best of O'Meara.
We are here with Sarah Fraser. She hosts the Hey Phrase podcast. She is giving a massive maxi pad promotion coming up soon. When's that? What's that thing?
June 20th.
Oh, it's right around the corner.
Yeah, it's next week. It's literally next week.
All right,
like,
so
you're 155 days out. I'm like 15 hours out. You know,
and this is a female podcast type. I mean, really, if you're talking about raising awareness for women in need in crisis that are going through that, and there are women that have nowhere to go and they need things, and it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, and I hope I promote it.
Yeah, but the podcast welcomes all comers. I mean, it's great for boys and girls, and they're going to be playing the newlywed
game.
If you're
the average dude, if you're a man out there, will you be able to benefit from this?
Oh, of course. 100%. I feel like men love like all experiences. Tons of women bring their significant others, their husbands, their boyfriends. If you're a guy, you want to come. I mean, it will not be uncomfortable for you. It's a great time. Like, our audience drinks like crazy. The last show we had was AFI Silver Spring. They were like, look, we've never seen any audience drink as much as yours. Yeah, so congrats.
There's nothing like a drunk audience.
Yeah, we get that a lot. Too.
Yeah, everybody comes, has a great time. Just drink yourself, you know, under the table, and then you won't even remember the maxi pad segment.
It's exciting. Yeah, I believe in that 100%, which means we're going to get back to the Yak Shack. Speaking of drinking,
yes,
this is Escondido. We get a call from Escondido. Let's listen, ladies and gentlemen.
Yak Shack. Hey guys, this is Ryan from Escondido, California. Just calling to tell you, I was watching June 7th. Episode on YouTube, and Oscar, I know you're from a different land. I understand that. You keep referring to Himalayan sea salt. All right, there's no bloody sea in the it's a mountain. Oh my gosh. I'm not a geologist. There's no bloody sea in the Himalayas.
Right.
Anyways, I love your show, and Effie Rub.
Thank you.
Peace.
You know, he's not here to defend himself. Isn't it called Himalayan sea salt?
It is. I thought it was named after a lady.
Like,
what?
With the letter C.
Yeah, the Himalayan sea.
Rob felt that he should balance out the... forget it. next call, another call from the same guy from Escondido.
Hey, it's Ryan from Escondido again. I know you don't encourage repeat calls, but here's the deal, Oscar. If you say Himalayan sea salt
again,
I'm going to put on an adult diaper. I'll drive to Virginia. I'm going to smack you on the pico. I'm from the internet. There's crazy people here. I will smack you right on the pico.
So pico?
Stop it with the sea salt from the mountains.
Yeah, he's got an issue.
That's really weird because the first call was sort of funny and charming, and now I feel like I need to change the locks in my house.
Little hostile.
Yeah.
I have a few names that are my buzzwords. As I said, I edit this all week. So when I put just Kevin down,
Kevin,
might be trouble. So this is simply a call from Kevin. Let's listen.
Hey, this is Kevin in Percyville. Hmm. I'm calling you guys because I'm curious why the female interns don't get nicknames like the boys do. I mean, some are pretty obvious. You already have a pony girl. I mean, Dolly is clearly just a little horse. So, got any ideas for others?
Or Dahlia.
Thanks.
Thanks, Kevin. You know what? Sarah Fraser, Rob Spiewak, he may have a point.
Oh, no, we've had nicknames for girl interns in the past.
We've had girl.
Girl, yeah. I mean, she's sort of set
up. Katie Cole, who is now Katie. Do you know her last name? There's Murphy. A big brain thing. Katie Murphy, who is now Katie Cole Murphy. And because she was, I think, our first female intern, I simply called her girl.
Yeah. And that I think, and Maddie,
we've always
got a
big laugh. It was like, well, what do we have? How about a nickname? It came up, and I said, well, she's a girl. Let's call her girl.
And it doesn't really find its way on air, but Maddie has a nickname around the office, which is Your Highness.
Maddie, care to respond to that?
He's right.
Does the name Your Highness in any way indicate how you expect to be treated, or that you might be diva-esque?
Well, I established this a long time ago, that I had certain requirements for how I was addressed.
She does come from New York political royalty.
Yeah,
she does, actually,
Yeah, you know that, right?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah, she's like a big deal. I cannot believe when she was telling me her qualifications, I was like, you're working with Mike?
Well, she wasn't really telling you. She was sort of just yelling it downstairs. Here's the daughter of the mayor!
Here's where I'm challenged.
She's amazing.
I am challenged. I see Maddie, I see Dahlia, I see Johnny, I see Mac, I see these interns when they come into my little camera range.
Right.
When I used to be around them all the time, I was, as Rob would tell you, I'm a nickname guy. I can do really well with nicknames.
Okay.
You know? Like your new nickname for me, I'm going to call you Bling.
Bling.
You will be Bling, Sarah. You're going to be Bling from now on.
I like Bling. All right,
Bling,
good
Frazier.
One.
Bling. And we thank Bling for coming in today.
Yeah,
I like
to see Bling.
With Maddie, I know she's the daughter of the mayor of Buffalo.
Yeah.
I know that she's, that every time she's on there's just something about Maddie. I love having her part of the family.
Sure.
I think she's really great on the show. I just don't have enough interaction to come up with a nickname. If you were, Rob, on the spot to come up with a nickname for Maddie.
Yes.
You know right away whether a nickname's going to catch. You either shut it down or I know she knows the cheeses, but that was your construction, right? That was
you. You know, she doesn't really let, because she always has sort of been just Maddie to me, because she came in and that was her name. She does have the affiliation with the government because of her father.
Yeah.
She does, she has the affiliation with cheese. So, but I do like I like that she is the queen of cheese, but that's not really a nickname that you
that's
can assign.
You can't do it. The queen of cheese is just really, very busy.
It's more of a title.
Look, we've got Mayor Pete. Why not Mayor Maddie?
Mayor Maddie, I like.
Alliteration, you got it.
Yeah, Mayor Maddie.
The mayor.
The mayor.
The mayor.
Yes.
Bingo.
The mayor. There she is.
The mayor.
And she kind of runs stuff around here. She's
the
mayor.
I should still be your highness and be the mayor.
Does the mayor? And by the way, I've nicknamed a lot of different people. Mm-hmm. And when I did, and especially with golf people, I had a great one for a guy that rebuffed it. He didn't like it. I don't remember what it was, but you have to accept it. Do you accept the nickname the mayor?
I accept.
The mayor. I love it. The mayor.
Ask the mayor about it. Thank you.
Yeah. See,
great job, Blaine.
Sarah Fraser just waltzes in, contributes, and then waltzes back out to get married.
Yes.
It's amazing. The next call says cute, so might be cute. Let's listen.
Okay, go ahead.
1-877 cost for kids. 1-KKAR left cost for kids. 1-877 cost for kids to make your car today.
Can you say goodbye duties?
Goodbye, duty.
They like that. Isn't that adorable?
Aww, that's
having
so
little
sweet.
Baby sing a jingle. That's one.
1-877 cars for kids.
Cars for kids. We need to balance it out. Please. Oscar hate.
Oscar. It's nuclear, not nuclear.
Bye.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Dennis Miller once said to me, when I said, I've heard some comments about nuclear energy, he said, well, first of all, my pet peeve is people who say nuclear. And I'm like, okay, F you, Dennis. I screwed it up. Sorry.
How's his career going?
It was wonderful. Well, you know, I mean, he made that flip.
Yeah, what, he did.
15 years ago, something like that. One more call, then we got to take a break.
Gentlemen, fish from lovely Billerica, Massachusetts. Rob, I know you give Oscar a little bit of about his ability to handle English, but on Thursday's show, You apparently called the lovely system of zeros and ones that Pony uses regularly binary. The word's binary. Live it. Love it. Learn it. Own it.
Well, I'm glad I got my one
mistake. Okay. That's
yeah.
for you.
Glad I got my one mistake of the year out of the way early.
Oh, yeah. All right, one more. Tired dad, and then okay. we got to take
hey,
it.
Hey, Mike, Bob, Oscar. It's Saturday morning.
Oh, boy.
Woke up 7 times to 2 kids crying last night. I'm tired. Now I have to go wipe my kid's ass. That's my life.
See, there you go. That's the relaxation that is the Yak Shack. I love
it. Well, I love you. That was, you know, sometimes when you issue a theme for the yaks, I like mm-hmm. the early morning yak.
Welcome back to WDGH. This is Gowan, and I'm joined in studio with none other than the pony boy himself, Matt Bloom. Welcome, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we only have time for a couple questions. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So you're the senior producer of the Mike O'Mara Show, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And is that a job as fun as I'd imagine?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. You've been up in your presence quite a bit as of late, and the fans seem to really dig it.
Mm-hmm.
Given your impeccable timing and impressive vernacular, do you think your role will continue to grow?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, we gotta wrap it up, but one more question. What's up with all those tentacles in anime?
Mm-hmm.
And there you have it, folks. Pony boy Matt Bloom. You can hear everything he has to say and, well, hopefully more on The Mike O'Mara Show.
The best of O'Mara.
We're not going to waste any more time. Rob calls me yesterday with this. And I think I reacted, Rob, with the same in with both amusement, but also I was so angry when I got off of it.
I had the whole range of emotion too. But before we get to it, I need 60 seconds to send thank you okay. to the student body of Tuscarora High School, who at the homecoming game where it was misty on Friday night, took the time to write the following words in the mist on my windows of my car: one C word, the other C word, bitch. F and S. It was written in childless scrawl in
oh
the mist
God.
On my car windows in the unattended parking lot.
Oh
okay,
my God.
So thank you for doing that.
Oh my God.
Because the next day it dried and it was in the dust in my car windows. So when you approached my car from the passenger side, you saw every word you can't say on the radio. Now, forward.
So your car was in need of a bath prior to the mist hitting.
Well,
correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, it's polleny up here, and I've had a few things going on.
You're so a busy guy. You got a little bit happening on in your
so
life.
So I go
right
to
now.
Pick up my mom to go to meet with the pastor yesterday, and she comes out, and the first thing she sees are these words, including the worst word you can say to a
the
woman.
The C word.
Yeah. She says, oh, you have some words on your car.
The words.
And I said, yeah. And she says, are you still planning on driving me to the funeral? I said, yeah. She says, let's get that washed.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to be pulling into the church.
Now, did they do it to you or just you or a lot of cars?
Yeah, did they single you out? That's the first question I would
I looked to. Around and I don't appear to have been singled out for any reason, but maybe because the beautiful Sorrento has such magnificent window space, they went to town. I don't think I was targeted as an announcer or because I was Robert or Julia's dad.
That is just, that's rather disturbingly bold.
It is.
Even for high school.
Wasn't it personal.
Far away. I don't think it was personal. And I think I was just lucky.
Personal.
I was just lucky.
Yeah, but they would have like given some sort of descriptor before the words. I imagine.
Yeah, it was like announcer C word.
Like announcer C.
And it was the C word for a female, and it was the C word for the male.
Yeah,
part.
It was equal opportunity.
Go
so
Latin
it was equal
club.
Opportunity. So they weren't
Latin club. Signed key club.
C word at two.
Yeah.
And a microphone looks like a penis.
Yeah, but anyway, when
and it wasn't done because you're the announcer.
No, I don't think so. I think it was because it was such a crowded game that the auxiliary parking lots were being used, and it was far away from the action. But I hit Dr. Wash yesterday, paid for the bronze, and we're all good. Car looks good.
You really
good.
Have a Dr. Wash up there now?
Dr. Wash, he's not a medical doctor.
No.
It's just the car wash. It was a facility that was close
what
by.
What happened to Embassy Auto Wash?
Embassy is still around. But, Mike, it's a competition. You know, they all compete. And yeah. Dr. Wash gives the...
you mean it's a competitive business?
Yeah, we've got Mr. Wash in Montgomery County.
Well, yeah.
Mr. Wash.
Mr. Wash.
Oh, I know his logo.
Doctor.
No, not a medical doctor, but he plays one on TV.
And remember the one of the early sponsors, maybe it wasn't the podcast. Maybe it was The Edge.
What's that? The Edge.
Planet Wash?
Yes.
Planet
that was
Wash.
A great Remember? Place.
Planet Wash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got a lifetime of washes.
Mm-hmm. I did. And then I left.
Yeah.
Woe is me.
And if you want to go way back into McLean in the early 1970s, Mike, there was Finnegan's Car Wash.
Finnegan's.
Oh, no. See, I don't remember that. I didn't grow up here like
It was
you.
A Scottish branded car wash. Not great.
So, well, you got that out of the way. But
yes, I wanted to mention that. Friday was the day that Dave, my stepfather, his ashes were ready. And my mom was not all that excited to go pick up the ashes anyway.
Terrible thing.
It's a bad duty, as my father would say. And also, right. She had stuff to do. I said, well, you know what? I'm here. I can take care of it. Where do I go? And I'll name them by name because they gave her a great deal.
Oh, no.
Direct Cremation Services of Virginia in Chantilly.
Wow.
Yes. Now,
I just take your time, all the time you need.
I will.
I have a multitude of questions as we go.
And
forward.
You can stop and pepper me with questions the whole way.
The direct cremation services.
Yes.
The business in general. I don't know whether you research this or not, but. Is it a bit of a monopoly, do you think? Do you think there... I just wouldn't think there are one of these on every corner.
I saw a brochure, not the brochure I brought in, but I saw a brochure in the facility that said, the most economical cremation service in Virginia.
In the state?
Yes.
Not just Northern Virginia, Virginia.
Because they cut out the middleman.
Carrie asked around. We didn't need... I think that's actually what they do before they burn the body.
Oh, God. That's
it's awesome. A space-saving thing. Carrie had them recommended to her by someone who had just had a loss, and they said that they did a fine job for the money, and we're not going to embalm. We're not going to need a coffin. We're not going to need a space for visitation or service. So there's really no need to involve anything fancy like a funeral home. We looked into it, but it turns out if we're going to have the visitation and the service at a church, we don't need anything except Dave's ashes. And so
what you're doing in effect is kind of taking, and I'm sure this in this day and age with the costs of funerals and everything associated with them.
Astronomical.
I would imagine you're kind of you're not alone as far as kind of doing this way where you have the urn and you have the ashes and you actually you know have visitation at a church hall and then you have the funeral. I would think more people would do that.
And if you remember from last week, his urn is not even an urn; it's a Fender guitar lunchbox because he is a rock and roll guitar player. He loves guitar. So I said to my mom, "I'll do this," and I don't know what I was expecting. A cremation joint to look like. I thought
were you
maybe,
always the one who was going to be the doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, from when we had it done, and I was, I mean, there's other things they take care of. You have to have a cremation certificate. They provide, I think, 5 death certificates because
it's a regulated business.
Yeah, different people,
for obvious reasons.
Different people need death certificates. So I had to make sure all the copies were there. By the way,
it's a regulated business so that in the past, when people would like go into their fireplace and just get a plastic bag and say, here's Uncle Danny.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, that's why they do that.
It's like like a DMV to go.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Now serving D-47.
You don't have to go to the big place and wait. You're there.
I thought that I was, in my mind, sort of envisioning like a funeral parlor, like a house or something.
With like
you know?
Undertaker coming out?
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't have been envisioning that because that, of course, would be if you used a funeral parlor. Yeah. That's what. See, they take the, if you've got somebody like yourself, who can handle it and do it and get involved with this, then you don't, you know, that's the,
this
we didn't deal with that with my mom because the funeral home did.
What's that, like $10,000 for to bury someone these days? That's what I heard.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
My mom, bless her heart, did not burden my sister or I with that because of advanced planning. Ooh. And we didn't deal. And my sister would probably give you an exact number, but your boy is, you know, throughout was very spoiled for that. So I didn't have to deal with a lot of that number.
Dave was a member of the Air Force, so he will be his plot will be provided by the United States government. And I will tell you, basically, the cremation was about $1,500.
Okay,
which is still
pretty steep.
It's considering. Ridiculous.
And you know,
it's ridiculous.
It's easy for you to say what I expect and what I don't expect, and if it's wrong because I've never done it before.
Never been.
I don't know.
So this is the first time. Are you? Do you have butterflies a little? Because it is
of course, it's creepy as hell. And I'm thoughts are in my head like, okay, I'm going to get a lunchbox full of a person.
And don't trip.
Yeah, don't drop it. Don't get in a car wreck on the way home.
So you didn't even know that, like, I know that he's kind of a hippie that way, that he wanted his ashes in the lunchbox, but I don't think you were expecting it to be all done, and then they say pour them into the lunchbox.
No, what I knew, like, because I was with my mom with the preparations leading up, is right. that what happened is that for this level of burial, it's kind of like going onto DirecTV, and they got sort of like the bronze
the
level.
Packages?
Yeah, and you know, we could step up to a fancier urn and go silver, and then, you know, I guess if there's, you like gold, it comes in a really fancy urn, and you get all the pay-per-views. But
the
we just
remains
went for the
are normally the remains are normally in a very thick plastic clear
double bag. Wrapped in a plastic bag, and the box that came with this I think was like 4x6x8, which is actually smaller than the lunchbox, so we knew the lunchbox would be
so
adequate.
you didn't even have to purchase an urn.
No, I brought the lunchbox to the place, which was in sort of a industrial looking strip mall in beautiful Chantilly, Virginia. And if you're not from around here, I can explain Chantilly to you this way. Chantilly is a city that exists at the intersection of two roads. That's yeah. it. It's 50 and 28. That's Chantilly. That's the whole damn
used
town.
Used to be beautiful, bucolic farmland.
Right.
As far as the eye could see.
Now it's big boxes of buildings.
Before Northern Virginia hired county commissioners that never met a developer that they didn't.
No, exactly.
Okay.
You said it very nicely. Yeah, I'm going to mention that.
What type of industries were in the industrial park?
There were
farmers, and the industry of Northern Virginia, going back, and Rob will back me up on this, going back 40 years, the industry of Northern Virginia was buying farmland, developers buying farmland from farmers that were too lazy to farm anymore.
Right.
And then giving them a financial windfall.
Older farmers.
In most cases. And then speculating on where they would put the new developments of homes, and then putting a strip mall in there with inadequate roads.
That's why Northern Virginia
is Northern Virginia.
Without ever widening Route 7.
There was never infrastructure. So what it was based on was if you knew somebody that sat on a county seat, like a supervisor, you were able to figure out and know where the big developments, where the big shopping centers and where everything was going to go. And that's where the graft came in. If you really did a deep dive investigatively on it, you'd be able to probably unearth amazing.
Amounts
of corruption. Yep.
Now, Oscar, as far as the businesses that are on either side of this industrial park, I was I didn't make mental notes, but I would not have been surprised to see something like Rebounders jumping establishment for kids, maybe like an acting school for young children, young hopefuls, maybe a bowling supply factory.
Karate.
I know there was a Hooters across the street.
Ooh.
I noticed
maybe
that.
A direct like warehouse furniture wholesaler.
Yes, very good. Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of big buildings that are perfectly square, all right angles.
So
that's
you can
it.
Go and get that incredible deal where you're paying just about the same as you would at a regular furniture.
So I go in and I enter. And you know what? Should we break before we get to it? Because
Let's do it. Okay. We're up on a break right here.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch a Budge, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the Bonus Game. I hated the Bonus Game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? It's a commercial-free, uncensored 6 hour of TMOS every week. Blah, blah, blah. I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
The Best of O'Mara.
I have a monitor that I watch the guys on
Oscar
here.
Oscar the Destroyer! Woo!
And it's just, you know, lots of activity. Well, did somebody come in with a package? What's going on?
No, I asked Pony to get me a Red Bull, and he came back and he said, there's no Red Bull. And I said, Well, in my eyes, I was like, this guy.
It seemed a little more urgent than there's plenty of moving around that goes on during the course of a show.
Well, no.
This was like this. I jumped
jumped up in a huff because.
You did. That's because, what I
I jumped up in a huff because I said, well, my friend Pony might be missing a chromosome because there are 30 Red Bulls in that glass fridge.
Actually, it's an extra chromosome.
Yes. Well, again, maybe you've got the wrong extra because I walk in there with him in a huff and I point at the fridge. It's eye level. There are 30 Red Bulls in front of him.
All backwards. All
backwards, Mike. They're backwards.
Oh. Did Pony attack this task with the same zeal and effort that he puts into everything
his life? That's why there was a huff. I said, did you not see the 30 in there? And I showed it to him. And
when the can is backwards, do you think it's not Red Bull, but something called nutritional information?
No, it's just a bunch of silver cans. I didn't see them.
No, it's a pretty distinctive
it's a silver
can.
Drink. No big deal.
Oh, whatever.
And then he said,
oh, there it is.
He goes, when I point to the glass and you see the 30 there, he goes, for F's sake.
How is our wonderful industrial refrigerator working in the studio?
It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Can we talk about it tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely.
Because right now we've got cremations to do.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah.
And I also, when we get back into I have to applaud Julia, who came with me on this horrible chore. And it's nice to have someone with you. And she has been by my side for all of this. And she's
old is Julia now?
She just turned 7, or she's about to turn 17. So turn 17 in December.
All right.
So she is awesome. So we get in there and we walk in. And again, I'm not expecting to go into an industrial complex. And what they have done is they've taken an industrial complex and made it look as nice as possible, but they haven't tried very hard.
A nice facade.
Yeah, there's a big wooden reception desk and there's a couple sitting areas, but it's way too wide.
So did Julia express an interest in joining you for this? Or?
I asked her for her help on some stuff earlier in the day. And I said, do you want to come along and pick up Dave? And she said, yeah, she would.
Wow, that's a brave kid.
At that age, absolutely.
That's stunning. Stunning. Well, she's she's ahead of the curve. Yeah. She always has.
I walk into the place. It is deserted. And also, I'm trying my best to keep my head together because all day I've been making puns with my mom about it. Because if you don't laugh, you cry. I said, is Dave going to be ready? Is Dave going to be ready at 1? She says, I think so. I said, well, you better call and light a fire under them. And so, I mean, just all stuff like
that.
Did
you make the joke with Julia when we walk in? This place is dead.
No, I didn't do that.
Oh. But did I tell you the one? I don't know if I've repeated myself.
What's that?
When my mom passed away. When we got up to Maine, I don't think I repeated
this
to you. I may have. Paul had the line of, the ashes, my mom's ashes were at my sister's house. And of course, I got the hip debacle. So we had to delay the scattering the ashes. So they were with Kathy for a long time. When I finally got up to Maine in June, Kathy on a couple of occasions said, would you like to have mom stay at your house for a while, and Paul didn't miss a beat, and Paul looked at me and said, she won't be any trouble. You didn't
that
hear that.
That is hilarious. Right.
That is funny. Once again, if you don't laugh, you cry.
That's my mom said that when you get there, ask for Bernie. I said, no. She said, I'm just kidding.
Bernie? Yes. Bernie.
So she had laid all the groundwork.
Gallows humor, if you've ever heard it.
She had to email in advance and say that I would be picking them up because, she had to.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, exactly. So get there and there's nobody. It is empty. It looks like a furniture showroom that has two settee areas and the desk, and there's nobody. And there's
now right there, first of all, I would say under normal circumstances, if it was a funeral home, I'd say, how about a little sensitivity? How
something.
About at least letting people know. But this is not that.
No.
Because you are taken out the softener between, you really have taken out the middleman from this.
It's the Costco of death.
It is the Costco of death. And here's, I don't want to be too grim or too gory, but the thing that really struck me when I walked in there is the smell of burning propane. And it made me sick to my stomach because I'm thinking, you know what? Back there where all the people are, they're burning bodies. That's what they're doing. And it's just sickening.
God.
Gross. But on the good side, on the reception desk, there's a bell, like a hotel lobby service bell. And I said, Julia, there's no one here. Do you want to ring? No, I don't want to. And I don't think you should either. I said, get out of my way. And I go, nice and loud. And then Pearl
when
Bailey.
When you did that, did you hear this music?
No, I did not. I did not. Thank God. No, stop it.
Was it
stop
Diego?
It was.
Did he come up?
Do you remember Vincent the intern?
Yeah.
He finally found a place.
It's just so. You're painting a picture of like Creep Central. I mean,
I am
you
not.
You smell the propane and then you've got like a bell and there's no one there.
Nobody there.
So yeah, that's always just. Ooh, God,
does
I'm
a propane
mad,
taxi
already.
Stop by and deliver the propane?
They'd remind that you don't need to remember to order propane.
Honk, honk.
Exactly. They bring.
I'm already. I have to say something. I'm already getting mad. I'm already getting disgusted and angry at this. Okay, so you're by yourselves in your grieving moment
right.
to, you know, collect the remains
I would rather
of your
be
loved one.
Anywhere but here. And so right. I ring
so
the bell.
So why have some, really, why have the decency to man your station?
Exactly.
You know, just be back, you know, taking a dump or something like that.
So really. Out comes right, Pearl ahead. Bailey. And I say, hi, I'm here to collect the remains of David Goddard. She said, well, you must be Mr. Goddard. I said, no. You know from previous notification, I'm his stepson. My name is Rob Spiewak. You would have that in the paperwork. I'm here to collect Mr. Goddard. I'll be right back out with him. I said,
"Are you annoyed? Was there, by the way, was there an apology for not being at the front desk?
No, not at all. Not at all. And so, Mike, the apology comes in the form of the most affordable cremation in the state of Virginia.
But this is when I begin to pepper you with questions. Was there any awareness that they are dealing with a grieving relative?
Oh, there is none of that. I'm getting all the sensitivity that I would at a like at Bloomingdale's.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
You know, she's attentive, but non-caring.
Okay.
And so I said, wait, ma'am. It was expressed to, and the guy that we've been dealing with all the time, his name is Kip. Kip. So
Kip is, where's Bernie at this point?
We don't know Bernie, but Kip
so
is the
So Pearl came out to see you, and you're, there, you there know no Kip, but there's Bernie. But you're this is another person that you're a wild card.
So I said, we spoke to Kip. Oh, yes, Mr. Kip. I said, yes. We're going to have the remains put in this lunchbox. And I give her the lunchbox. She says, well, isn't that nice? I'll be right back. And so
okay,
she goes.
So that's not, you know, there's not a problem there.
No, because
which
we arranged
it. Would have added
it.
Stress to it. Okay.
Right. So she goes, and she said, and would you like to have a seat? And I said, more than anything. So I sit down and wait for her. And Julia is sitting down opposite me in her phone because, you know, she's there, but she's probably a little creeped out as I am.
Well, she's probably compensating the way she should and diving into her device.
Mm-hmm. So Pearl comes out with the ashes in the lunchbox and a bag and a plain black box. And she says, had you not brought the lunchbox, this is the box you would have gotten. And I said,
now, is it that small? I mean, it's big, right?
It's not that big. It's like I said, 4x8x7, something like that. It's not that big. And okay. I said, so do I get to keep that box? Because I thought it was an odd gesture for her to show me what he would have been in. And I said,
it's weird right there.
Yeah. I said, do I get to keep the box? She says, do you want to keep the box?
Oh.
And I said, I don't. Julia, would you like the box? I don't want the box. I said,
who wants the box?
But I don't know why it was even brought out.
Because you're confused. That's why you're even saying it.
Because, so it's that whole thing was screwed up.
You're saying it because you're probably confused by the moment.
Do
you're
I
dealing
need
with
the
your
box?
Grief.
Yes. Is
but
box
also,
burn better?
You know,
what's
and I
the story?
Don't mean to, you know, in your time of grief, I don't want to share this with you, but also, you know, your incredible burning desire to get any kind of freebie you can ever get, which is like ingrained into your soul. That's
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I want a dead
and
plastic box.
And they gave us this box.
And
I'm just, you know, I'm then
I said, I asked
because
the one question.
I just want to interrupt because this is recent for me. I'm kind of comparing size. Do you remember what I said when I scattered my mom? It was just like the ashes just never stopped. It was a lot
of
stuff.
Well, I think it's really compacted too.
Okay.
I mean, almost like a food saver.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a dude saver.
A dude saver.
Okay. Dude.
And I said, I have a question, Pearl. And that's not her name and that's not what I was calling her. But for the sake of the story, let's call her Pearl.
Sure.
I said, do all bodies yield the same amount of ashes?
Great question.
She says, oh, no, honey. Big people have bigger bones and they have more ashes.
Oh, okay. And she's talking to a bigger man.
And that was sort of pointed.
We're going to need the XXL box for you.
I said, honey, it ain't all bone.
But my mom was teeny tiny, though. That's why I asked. All right, so she says,
so we go
what's
through
the
that.
Point of the black box? What
the
was
black
the point
box,
of it?
That I wish I knew.
It's a riddle that shouldn't have even been, I guess, approached between Pearl and Rob because
was she indicating to you that perhaps that would have been a more appropriate vessel for transporting
if
the ashes?
She was trying to intimate that she did a really bad job of it. Mm-hmm. Because all she said is, had you not brought the lunchbox, this is the box you would have gotten.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just found it odd.
Have the ashes been transferred to the lunchbox?
The lunchbox is full of ashes and closed and sealed. And I've not had any issue to open it or want to see it or anything. It's just
no question.
A heavy
nobody
lunchbox
wants to do
now.
That. You don't want to deal with it.
And she says, and now would you like to have a seat so we can finalize some paperwork? I said, of course.
All right. We have to stop right there. We're out in the lobby. It sounds like a marvelous experience so far.
That was great. And,
we will come back. And
do you want the black box, Mike? I probably swing by on the way home.
You know what? I'm actually going to pass on that. All right. We are dealing with this, the saga of the crematory.
Right. And we're at actually what I think is the finish line, because all I need to do
name,
now is...
by the way. Absolutely horrible name. You know, just nasty.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, the whole process
crematorium.
Is pretty gross.
Maybe like an ashland would have been great.
Yeah, it's been taken by it's a city near Richmond.
Oh, yeah.
Can't really use it.
And by the way, I mean, not to get too
Sparkies.
Heavy into this, but it's become the common mode... Of I don't know what the
statistics
are.
I think it is much more common now. I was talking to the
More people get cremated than get planted. I mean, is that?
I think it's the financially feasible thing to do. And I was speaking to the minister yesterday, and he said the whole tone of funerals have changed in the past 20 years. Is there now they are much less grim and more celebrations of life? And I think it's a great step in the right direction.
Not at mine. I want sobbing. I want incredible
open
sadness.
Weeping.
All right,
open weeping.
I'll fake it.
Weeping.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So really all I needed to do, my mom had written a check, and she needed 5 death certificates and a certificate of cremation, and that was going to be it. It was really just a swapping of papers. And then Pearl says, there's one other thing I'd like to discuss with you.
Ooh.
And I said, okay. She says, you might not know this, but before every deceased is cremated, we take a fingerprint. And that already flipped me out, because that's nothing that had been discussed with the family or anything. But
is that for purposes of identification,
like
to make sure they've got the right
case.
Person?
That's what I thought, that it would have to be something for records. Because we've already been emailed, and this is another thing that flipped us out. We got an email with all the information for his processing that we had to sign off on. And on the 5th page is a picture of his face. Dead for positive
identification,
and it totally flipped us out. So we get past
no
that.
One, of course, prepared.
No one warned them. No.
I have to say, and you know this, I'm not telling you, but this is probably why. This is all stuff people avoid if they go through the funeral.
Yeah, you're leaning in.
Exactly.
Yep.
So I said, and the thumbprint, and I said,
leaning in. Yeah. I'm sorry.
To the discomfort. Like the discomfort. He's the one that decided to take this on.
We have we have taken a thumbprint of the deceased before the cremation, and I said, okay. Mm-hmm. And she said, and I'd like to introduce you to something we have. It's called Legacy Touch Keepsakes.
Ooh.
And she said, this is nothing you have to make a decision about now, but this is a company that will put his thumbprint on.
No.
Dog tags.
No.
Jewelry.
No, no,
pendants.
No. You are shitting me.
No, absolutely not. And I was.
Oh, my God.
What? Because I'm still trying to process the fact that they took a thumbprint without our permission. And then
they
she says.
They figured out an upset. Of course it ain't free, is
oh,
it?
Oh, no.
It's not free.
And she says, maybe you'd like.
Gross.
Maybe you'd like a pocket knife.
And with a thumbprint?
With the thumbprint of
like
the deceased.
Silk screened on it?
And then also she says, and they do everything. Tie tacks, lighters, cigar cutters.
This is just, I can't even begin to
Who
tell you.
Who would want that?
This
it's
is
so
some
disgusting.
Bastard. This is some greedy effort that just manufactured this out of thin air and thought, this is a way we can squeeze that family with one last little moneymaker before
like,
we get our $1,500 just to put somebody in a Weber. Jesus.
I said,
unbelievable.
I was
People
so...
This disgusts me.
So shocked at being upsold at this moment, really after the deal was done.
Oh, by the way, incidentally, and I have to say this, because there are people in our audience, I'm sure, that, look, The odds are there. If you've purchased something like, I am not judging anybody about that is bereaved that may be purchasing something like this because they are dealing with their moment of sadness. And I'm not going to, I'm not casting any aspersions on you.
Do what you want to do.
This is directly.
Yeah, we're not judging them.
My barrels are aimed strictly at the avarice of this particular thing, yeah, which really just grosses
me. They hand me the pamphlet and I start thumbing through it. You'll pardon the pun. And it says, this is what really nauseated me at the moment. It said, littlest prince, no loss is more tender than the passing of an infant or young child. Handprints or footprints captured by a funeral service provider can be carefully preserved and engraved into a beautiful keepsake. And then it says, asterisk, please check with your funeral home for availability of prints. Eligible products for baby prints will have a heart icon on the keepsake item. Jesus. So you cannot, it turns out you can't get the baby footprint on the cigar cutter.
Look, you know what we still don't realize in this country?
I'm going to throw up. This is so messed up.
We don't realize in this country still that this is business. If you go through it, all you have to do is go through it. I did it with my dad. I made a joke with at the funeral parlor where I said, what do we do to get the free set of steak knives? And lo and behold, I always thought it was caskets. It was urns. It was the lining of the casket.
They
can't do anything like that.
Because they're cremation and their bottom barrel cremations.
They can do this.
Yeah, they can do the keepsake thing.
You get a bookmark with some of the purchases.
Yeah,
okay,
I have to ask you.
Free bookmark, right?
I have to ask you this. When she brought this up, Miss Sensitivity.
Yeah, Pearl.
Miss in the back having breakfast.
Right.
Was there anything in her demeanor that indicated that perhaps she had been she had dealt with anybody that might have had some level of offense at this greed.
This was the presentation. She says, I think this is a wonderful way to remember the deceased. And I will always remember. And I had eye contact with Julia when she said, maybe you'd like a pocket knife to remember him by. And I just went, you know, I don't think so. And she said, don't worry. There's a PIN number in the front of the brochure. You can access his thumbprint for the rest of time.
Oh my! All right, now let's get the price points here.
Okay, so
are we doing like $20, $30?
Well, it depends on what you want. What do you want? A pendant?
What
a
if
ring?
I wanted the aforementioned pocket knife?
Okay, you want the pocket?
Much is the pocket?
Know this: that the majority of these items have a 24-hour turnaround.
Well, sure.
Yeah, because it's so difficult to silk screen a thumbprint onto a piece of plastic.
And you might want to wear it to the funeral.
Hey, it even says here, in time for the service.
Oh my!
The keepsake's designed to honor a beloved man, or to be given as a masculine memorial gift.
Oh, Matt, may your first gift be a masculine gift.
Each memento is laser engraved with a perfect fingerprint reproduction.
Laser engraved. It's not silk screen. Sorry about that.
It is unmatched. It's an unmatched way to pay loving tribute. It's for $125.
There it is. Yeah. It's just.
And how are you going to check it if it's the right fingerprint?
Yeah,
because he's gone.
Cufflinks? That would be creepy to put your thumb on someone's thumb.
Well, it's the whole thing.
They're weird.
And once again, I'm not going to slam the product. What I'm saying is, you just the idea.
The way it was presented to me was
Rob and I were talking on
horrifying.
The phone yesterday, and you didn't even go into any of the detail. I didn't know it was this way. This is just they get ready. The reality of American life, maybe other countries too, but let's leave it. This is the country we live in. They get you from the moment you open you are charged for you are spending money from the minute you come out of the birth canal until the time you were put in the ground.
Yeah.
That's it. And in many cases after that as well. It's
And
just
you know what? To go on to what you
horrible.
Said, I don't
All we want to do is make money in America. That's it. That's all anything is predicated on.
If this was a website where people could do something to remember a loved one that they would seek out and buy, amen. More power to you.
Oh,
not my scene.
This is the minimal effort. This is the
brochure.
This is the minimal effort. The thumbprint. Just take it, and it's not. You don't need a photograph. You don't need it. Oh,
and
God.
Again, here's what really pissed me off the most. Let's circle back. They took his thumprint without ever mentioning it to us.
Absolutely.
And isn't that like stealing from a corpse?
Well, It's a legal requirement.
They might have to take it anyways.
If I remember correctly, it is a legal requirement to do that.
Not to legal to give it to that company and give them
they're
a PIN number.
They're scaling it up is what they're doing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I felt offended by that. That's completely that.
And you know what? Hey, man, you're industrious. Get involved.
But that's the reason.
I think this is horrible.
That's the reason I took the papers and I didn't give my stepdad's remains to my mom until Sunday, when I could say, I got to walk you through what happened.
Yeah.
And thank God she took it with we've been laughing a lot.
You're the stepson. What if she had been there with it? Just, yeah. And I'm sure people are in a state that they probably go, yes, that would be nice. That would be.
Do you have a bundle?
We'll take a bundle.
I do by need the way, a lapel
by the
pin.
Way, listen, I don't feel you're important enough to actually be out in front of the, in the office when your appointment schedule is here, because I'm taking a
I want to go into the abandoned
plies. But by the way, and excuse my bad language, but when I get upset, I use bad language. Yeah. The fact is that, you know, but I do have the energy to upsell you on the only thing that we offer outside of giving you a plastic bag with ashes in it.
I am so...
God, that makes me mad.
And I am so normally ready to give people what they deserve when they approach me with it. But I was flabbergasted. I really didn't know how to handle it.
I'm sure most people are. And I'm sure we have people in our audience that have been through this this similar type of thing. You know,
I'm shocked there isn't one of those old-timey clocks that you would have in Monopoly or the Game of Life, where you can see your loved one just keep time.
Yeah.
You could take a deep dive. You could take a deep dive with funeral parlors, Oscar, and go into the items that they upsell on. It's throughout the industry. This is a money-making industry, and they try to do it everywhere. At least, but everything that I saw when I've dealt with this at funeral homes, they're books with people to sign. They're all these, everything is kind of a memorial nature. That's not now this kind. Mike, this is just
we could learn. We could learn from this though. If we pre-plan, listen. Yeah. To me.
Just if you come to New Orleans, we're going to all have thumbprints.
No. This is in.
You could wear us to your wedding.
This is in the event of something horrible happening to any of us. If we pre-plan, we could actually get all our thumbprints.
Hey, you know what? When I die,
on some sort of iPod.
When I die, you can just have my thumb. You can have the actual print. Cut it off. Keep it.
Thumb.
Yeah.
So I'm curious on the drive home with your lovely daughter.
Yeah.
What was her impression of the whole situation?
I said, is it?
She was an eyewitness. And sometimes they have a better perspective on it.
Is it weird that they wanted us to buy a Dave thumbprint necklace? She says, that is so creepy. And then she sort of faded out and came back. She says, Dad, listen, here are the reviews from the website. And so she had jumped into the website and started
reading.
She's
a smart kid.
And she says.
She got the comedy gene, too. She knew.
She said, Dad, listen, quote, the pocket knife was much better than I anticipated. Very heavy and sturdy.
She said that to you. Yeah. I love her. You've done well with that one. That is so cute.
But
that
anyway, we got through the weekend. We got everything planned. My mom received this with the proper energy. And no, she's not going to be cashing in that PIN number anytime soon.
And let me tell you, I spoke to Rob's mom over
the
weekend.
Very kind of you.
Oh, that's sweet, Mike.
And what Rob's mom said, she called you, and this is all you need to know about Rob, her pillar.
Aww.
That's what she said, because Rob is doing all the lifting with this and really just doing a great
very
job.
Sweet, Rob.
And it's terrific that you're involved in this. You're good at death, Rob. You really are. I hate to tell you that, but
I have a Jewish and Catholic background. It's what we do. I mean, I'm sort of like super bred for it. I said, when my mom said that you had called, I said, well, that's very nice. I have but one question to ask. And she said, what? I said, did you ask him to do Charlie?
Hello, Sharon. I'm calling you in your time of grief. Hey, what's the deal with that thumbprint crap? Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I'm never going to that place. I swear to God, do it in the backyard. Take it out of their hands.
Stavlex Match Company and Crematorium.
Oh, my God.
But you were very sweet to take the time. It meant a lot to her, so thank you.
Well, it's just a big funeral. We've certainly exposed the underbelly of big funeral with this. But, as I said to your family, if you don't laugh, you do cry in this particular situation.
And this is actually something I really enjoy. We met the guy who's going to be the celebrant for Dave's service. And I said, laughter and tears are very, very close. They come at the same time sometimes. And he said, and whether you laugh or whether you cry, you have to let those emotions out and try to temper them against each other, because otherwise, if you bottle it up, it's unhealthy. But you can laugh, and you can cry, and you can get through it. So thank you.
And you can get a pocket knife with a thumbprint on it.
Sturdy.
Thanks.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.